From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. It's good to have you join with us today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes as the Reverend Raymond McLernan lets the Bible speak.
Warm word of welcome once again, and let me take the opportunity to wish you a very happy and prosperous and blessed new year. I want to look today at the prodigal son as we find him in Luke chapter 15. Verse 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This particular parable tells us of a father's love for his son, and a tremendous lesson in love it truly is. As we look at it, there are three things about the prodigal son that we want to observe. First of all, his consternation. The opening verse of this chapter sets the context for the parable. It annoyed the scribes and Pharisees that the Lord Jesus should mingle with sinners, but that was nothing new. They regarded publicans and sinners as entirely beyond hope. They felt that such people could never be fitted for heaven. The truth of the matter is, of course, that no man on earth could ever deserve heaven. Anyone who gets there will only do so by the grace of God and nothing else. The scribes and Pharisees saw religion as being for good people, but they saw no room for those of lesser credibility. But the glorious hope of the gospel is that there is that distinct possibility of a new start for any man, even in the most desperate. Aye, and it's more than a possibility, for it is guaranteed to all those who will avail themselves of it. Nobody could have been any worse than the prodigal, yet he was able to get a fresh start in life. He had sunk to the bottom, he was as far down as a sinner can get, but there was a way back for him. He was penniless, friendless, hopeless, and seemingly pitiless. That's what the world does for sinners. But there was a turning point, even for this poor specimen. A turning point that led to acceptance, to comfort, to happiness for him. What a blessed gospel we have. What a difference for this world the day Jesus came. What new hope he brings to mankind. In him is life. Now consider the times when the Lord Jesus was addressing these Jews. This was an age when the vile and helpless had nothing to look forward to. The Jewish system was all ritual and rigor. They were bound by more laws than they knew what to do with. People were in bondage just to try and stay within their own laws. But the gospel cut right across their miserable system. It cut to shreds the philosophies and theories of the Greeks, with all their religiosity and their intelligence, even with all their integrity and morality. They had no message for dying men. They wrote and spoke in a learned and fascinating manner about what they considered to be their ideal world. But they were so far removed from real life that they really had no hope to offer to the hopeless. There has never been, nor will there ever be, any hope for a sinful world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still the only one who can give a man the new beginning in life that he needs. If you cast your mind back to 1999, do you recall the great hype there was about the prospect of the dawn of a new millennium? Didn't men try to convince us then that suddenly everything was going to be different? The world was going to change overnight, and all of a sudden it would be such a wonderful place to live. And how many poor fools believed it. You can't change the heart of a sinner just by turning over the page of a calendar. Man needs a new heart. Year after year, men and women make New Year resolutions to make a fresh start. But how long does it last? Not very long. Why? Because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart is sinful. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you couldn't get yourself out of? Have you felt hopeless in yourself? Have you seen yourself as having gone wrong somewhere along life's road and things just haven't turned out the way you had dreamed? Isn't that what happened to the prodigal? Remember all his dreams? He left home full of hope. Everything in his garden was going to be suddenly so rosy. That is, till the reality of the real world hit him. And then he discovered that this world is just one big disappointment. But beloved, there is hope. There was hope for him, and there is hope for you as you stand on the threshold of a new year. Notice secondly his contemplation. It is God's purpose that the sinner should come to the point of recognizing his lostness, of the disappointments of life lived without Christ. If you just drift through life and never give close attention to the gospel message, then you will drift on and on till one day you drop into hell. But it'll be too late then to waken up. That's why we call your attention to this matter now. What did the prodigal do? Having lost all his money and foolish living, and having no friends left, he ended up feeding swine and was forced to nibble at their feeding trough. What a pitiful spectacle he was. That's what comes of living for the devil. But he did something about it. Ever heard the expression, catch yourself on, wise up, get a life? Well, that's what he did. He had a good look in the mirror. He took stock of his life and realized that he was not now the man he had been when he was at home. The years of sin had left their mark. They inevitably do. He saw what the devil had done to him. Verse 16 says that no man gave unto him. He was finished. He had lived, but lost. He was at the end of his tether now. If no man in the far country would look upon him with any pity, there was one whom he knew would not turn him away. His dear old father was still back home. He had always loved him. He would have time for him, and his only hope now was to go back. And so he said, I'm going home. I'll have to face my father and see if he'll take me back. All I can do is beg for mercy. And that's what he did. Notice thirdly his consolation. This fellow had no right to come back home, not after the way he had treated his father. He deserved all he got in the world. He had brought all his trouble on himself. He had nobody to blame but himself. He was finished. His only hope now was mercy. Mercy from the one he had so wronged. Mercy from the one he had hurt the most. Beloved, isn't that you today? Haven't you despised the Lord who gave you a good home? Haven't you grieved him by living for the world in sin? Jesus died to save you, but you've walked all over his precious blood. You have mocked him. You have spurned his love just as the prodigal spurned his father's love. And if you don't turn your back on this world and the devil, then you're finished. Your only hope now is mercy. Mercy that you don't deserve. This man didn't deserve mercy, but he came home and cast himself unreservedly upon his father, and he pleaded for that mercy. And you notice what his father did. He didn't scold him for all his wastage of money and energy and talent and time, or for all the heartache that he had caused. Rather, the father went out to meet him and threw his arms around his son, brought him home to a time of rejoicing. No doubt there were tears. Tears of regret from the son, but tears of joy from the father. He asked his father for the least recognition, just to be made a servant. But the father says, nonsense, man. Let's get the best robe on you. Here, put this ring on your hand. And he called his other son and said, don't just stand there, get him a pair of shoes to wear. And of course they killed the fatted calf and made a great feast. And there was much rejoicing and merriment. It was as if he had never been away. Gone were the muddy shoes and the old rags. Gone was every trace of his old wasted life. Beloved, this is just what happens when a sinner comes to Christ. The Lord puts a new robe on the man. He removes the old rags of the life of sin and puts on the man the spotless robe of his own righteousness. And there is rejoicing in the Father's house. You notice that it doesn't say that he placed the ring on his finger, but on his hand. The finger speaks of judgment, but the hand speaks of fellowship. The Father wasn't holding anything against the Son, but freely forgave him. And so it is with Christ. He blots out the old sinful past and causes the sinner to begin a new life, as if he had never sinned. That's the wonder of the gospel. Isn't it time that you had a new beginning? Isn't it time you left the old swine troughs of the world? Isn't it time you had something worth living for? Oh, turn your back on the sins of the old year. As you stand on the threshold of a new year, give your life to Christ and live. Start. There is mercy with the Lord. He can give you that new start. All you have to do is come as a poor sinner. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the preacher's shore. Very deeply stayed within, sinking to rise no more.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.